There are some countries in which if you go shopping, within that culture, there is this theme. You never pay full price. You negotiate. Some people hate car shopping in our neck of the woods just because of that. They want to know what the price is. That's the best price they offer. I don't want to wheel and deal. I don't want to go through all the stress of negotiating. But in some countries, that is part of it. That is part of the task. It is part of the art of the deal. And there's even books written about the art of the deal and negotiating and all of that. Well, long before the supermarket and long before automobiles and long before the malls and long before all the different cultures exist was Adam and Eve. And when you read Genesis, you can see that once sin entered into the world, Adam started to negotiate. Funny thing was, he tried to wheel and deal with God. His version of negotiation was he did not want to pay full price for his sin. God had said, don't. There was no negotiation in that. And Adam had eaten of the forbidden fruit, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he did not want to take the consequences. So his tactic, his approach to negotiation, was to blame. I'm not paying full price, the woman. Eve steps in. If that works for Adam, I will negotiate. I really don't want to throw him under the bus. I don't want to pay full price. The serpent did it. Did you ever notice in Genesis the serpent doesn't negotiate? He's happy he messed with God's creation. He doesn't care what it cost. All he wants is for God not to have his way. That's why he was kicked out of heaven. Because he didn't want God to have his way, and that was not going to be allowed, and so he was removed. And he lost his position as among the angels of God's servants, God's messengers, and he was kicked out of heaven. There was no negotiation of that. There was just the judgment, the verdict of God. So here on earth is the devil himself in the form of a serpent, and God basically acknowledges that he gets credit for part of the mess he made, but he doesn't excuse Adam, nor does he excuse Eve for what they did. And they get removed from the garden. So we go down in history into the days of Moses, and it changes from the law being written on the heart to God's law being written on tablets of stone. And ever since then, as well, man has continued to negotiate, how, on what terms, do I get into heaven? And it changes so that later on, like in the days of the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah and those names that you recognize from the books of the Bible, and that is it changes that people thought they could negotiate with God if they honored God with their lips. But as the prophet says, the condition of the heart, it's far from God. So now we go further into the timeline. And it's Paul's day. And here he is writing to the Galatians. And they too think they need to negotiate. They need to declare the terms by which one can be included or excluded as part of God's people and the kingdom of God. And again, you have the genetics. Well, we're Israelites, and that means we're automatically in. And Paul has to say, no, that's not true. And then it's, we have kept the law. And when you look at the scriptures and what the law is about, the Bible even tells us all fall short of the glory of God, right? That means nobody except Jesus has kept the law perfectly. And we continue to negotiate in the sense of in that day and that time about how close you could be to God if you weren't an Israelite. And so now Paul talks about how God's deal is non-negotiable. And it's really not a deal, because a deal implies two parties, but it's God's gift. The gift is non-negotiable. This is why Paul talks about there's neither Greek, nor Jew, nor male, nor female. You know, there is no separateness, no distinction about classes, whether it's social class or genetic class. You know, there is no distinction when it comes to applying the gospel. And in the scriptures, we learn that Christ died for all. Now see, like for someone myself, I'm not a Southern boy. Now I can mimic the accent, sort of, but y'all just get mad when I do that if you are Southern, because I'm a California guy. I'm from the land of fruits and nuts. You know? And Pastor Al's not a Southern boy. Not even Southern Wisconsin. Nope. And so, you know, what happens in every society, in every community, there's those that are considered the in-group and those that are considered the outside group. And since I'm not a Southern boy, I'm a Yankee, and I've stayed, and so there's a word they put before that title, Yankee. And so it is exclusionary. So even in today's society, in our year of living, we still try to emphasize these distinctions. And what's interesting is we also do it in a spiritual way. How is it that Paul writes this word that applies to us, where we're not focused about Jew or Gentile or Greek or male or female when it comes to God? And in what ways are we still negotiating? And so the theme of this portion of Galatians about how God is the one that makes the promise and God's the one that keeps the promises. He made the promise of sending his son, and he kept it. He made the promise that through his son, he has prepared a place for us, and he has kept that. He has made the promise that one day the son will return. That is yet to be fulfilled. He has made the promise to forgive our sins whenever we repent. And it's not about, did we repent enough? Are we sorry enough? He has made the promise to restore us again and again. But yet, even in our day, we fall into this trap. It's kind of a quicksand, if you will, where we start to negotiate with God. Why should I feel good about myself? Okay? Why should I love others, and in what terms? And how can I feel right with God? And in this section of Galatians, it points out we have a problem. We start with I instead of with him. We start with self instead of God. We have all kinds of ways of defining our self-image. And it all starts with self. And then it starts with opinions of others around us. I try not to read them. It's hard to ignore them. But somehow, even in the news captions or different websites that I may go to, somebody is always casting shame on somebody else. And I'm like, what's this about? How come people's opinions matter so much? And it either lifts our heart up or it just squashes us completely. Since when did human beings have the right to be the judge? And so all this stuff that we see in our world today is not new. It goes back way before the internet. It goes back to simply when sinful people were behaving sinfully. And they were trying to establish new terms, a new deal, in which ways and how we should feel good about ourselves and love one another. And so Paul reminds us, it is God who makes the promise. It is God who keeps the promise. And when God says something, it is true. We don't have to doubt it. We don't have to question it. And when the Bible says Christ died for all, that's true. We don't have to doubt it. We shouldn't doubt it. That would be law, okay? But we don't have to doubt it. Our sinful flesh, in a sense of what God's promises are about, is corrected in a way that we are taught the truth. And by faith, we hold on to that truth. And by faith, we believe that truth. So that in chapter 2 of Galatians, it says, for by grace through faith, you are saved. You know, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then it goes on to say, for we are the workmanship. It talks about how we are made by God. And so much of the issues that they had in Paul's day are issues that we have in our day. And it seems like we want to hold on to this brokenness in our world, the brokenness within us, and the brokenness around us. The brokenness within us is that we are not good enough. And so what we do is, well, we do a whole bunch of things. We change the laws. We ignore the laws. We change God. So what God? Who is God? And how is he God? And what does that mean? And our world today is very busy at creating and just basically repeating messages that were ancient. And so you and I gather today to be restored, to recognize that under the law we're judged, guilty. There's no negotiation of that. But under the gospel, we are declared forgiven and restored. Under the law, we're a mess. Okay? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're a mess. Okay? We don't like confessing our messes. Sometimes, you know, I remember being in the pews for many, many years, ever before I was ordained, and I remember people having their hymnal in front of them, and they would mumble. You know, I'm a sinner. Confess. You know, they would mumble. We don't like admitting that we fall short. And yet here's what God says. When we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, forgives us. Isn't that powerful? It reminds us in which ways we are restored. And why is it we have hope? And what is it that brings us joy? And what is it that gives us confidence and boldness? It's not self, it's God. Paul wrote to the people of Galatians. I think, in a sense, he wrote to people. For his day, for our time, and all the times to come. That the gospel is the most powerful message. And when you stop and think about each word of it that God has brought out into the open, that Christ died for you, that Christ loves you, that Christ rose for you, that in your baptism you are united to that Jesus Christ, the only Jesus Christ, who overcame sin, death, and the devil. You are united in the one who changes you. You're made one with the one who makes you whole. You are restored. And so the things that the world tries to convince us that holds us hostage, the things that even in the newscast, you're, well, you know, I'll never get over this. Yes, you can get over it because of Christ. On your own, you can't. On your own, you won't. But in Jesus, whatever is burdening you, in Jesus, whatever is holding on to you, in Jesus, whatever is bringing your heart down, in Jesus, whatever seems to be spoiling your day, in Jesus, think about what happens. You are forgiven. You are declared God's own. You have a place in heaven. And you are filled with His love. It's a pretty good deal, right? And it's a one-sided deal. There's no negotiation. It is God's gift to God's people. Amen.